He's the traditional desk.
You are listening to 91.5 FM WMIE.
Well, today we're continuing our sermon series on the Holy Spirit. And let's take a look today at hearing the Holy Spirit's voice. Do you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you daily and on a personal level and in direct communications? Can we hear the Holy Spirit speak to us? Let's take a look at that today and see what God would teach us about that by His Word, the Scriptures, for our encouragement and edification. Because, you know, I think a lot of Christians think, oh, I would love if only I could hear God speak to me directly, daily, and personally, then everything would be great. I'd be strong, and I wouldn't be worried anymore, and everything would be great because I can hear Him speak to me. Well, can the Holy Spirit speak to you? Can God, does Jesus speak to you daily on a personal level and in direct communications for your help and encouragement in the path of Christ? And can we hear His voice? And if so, how does He speak to us? By what means? Let's take a look at that and see what we can learn by the Scripture for our encouragement today in Jesus. First of all, does God actually really want to talk with you? Think about this. Does the Creator, who is so majestic the heavens themselves cannot contain Him, does He want to speak with you and me, mere dust and flesh, mere men? Well, let's open up and read the Scriptures, because they're replete with 1,000 examples of the answer to this question. Let's take a look at Psalm 50 just as one example. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Our God comes, He does not keep silence. Hear, O my people, I will speak. O Israel, I am God, your God, etc. God speaks to the earth, the Creator, with His creation. He desires to speak to man, and He wants you and me to hear Him. God spoke throughout history to His people, like in Abraham's day in Genesis 15. Fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And the word of the Lord came to all the prophets of old. And in the New Testament, we read in Acts 19, the word of the Lord in the New Testament days grew and prevailed mightily across amongst the people. So God wants to speak to you, and He wants you to hear His voice, I would say even daily and personally. Next question, though, is how does He speak to us? That's the question. By what means and what ways does God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, speak to us and that we can hear Him? Well, the first and most obvious answer to that question, Kevin, I'll call on you. How about that? What do you think is the right answer to every question ever asked in church? Jesus. Okay, so Hebrews 1. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by a Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. So how does God speak to us? Chiefly and principally, it's been through Jesus Christ, His Son. You got the prophets on the Old Testament, but the conclusive and final word in Jesus. Jesus said, for this reason I come and been born to bear witness to the truth. And especially He's preached to us two things, God's law, namely, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish, for you're all sinners and doomed to hell, if not saved. And secondly, God's gospel. Namely, He says, the Son of Man came not to serve, to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. In other words, to die for us on the cross, be raised, that we might be saved through faith in Him. He said these words in John 5, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He doesn't come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. So when God speaks to us, He speaks to us first words that cause us to fear, to feel guilt, to then cause us to tremble before Him, to repent of our sins and run to Christ the Savior. And then He gives us words to comfort us and lift us up in the eternal joys of salvation that He has for us in Jesus Christ. So, God speaks to us by His Son. And do you know that it's only really those of God who really hear His voice? Jesus says in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." So are you a Christian today? One of the chief characteristics of a Christian, think about this, is that you actually hear God's voice. It's completely natural for you to hear God's voice, and it'd be totally unnatural and something really wrong if you didn't hear his voice. It's right and natural for all of God's children to hear his voice. That's one of the chief characteristics and definitions of the Christian. You hear God. All right, so we believe in Jesus' words. But one might say, but Pastor, that was, 2,000 years ago. I believe what Jesus said then. But what about a personal word to me today in a direct communication for my life? Can I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me today, now, relevantly and personally? Well, for the rest of this sermon, I'd like to take a look with you at seven ways the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And actually, it really is seven. Amazingly good biblical number. But that's what I see in the scriptures. If you want to hear his comforts, if you want to hear his daily counsels, if you want to hear his corrections to you, if you want to hear his guidance and his encouragements, let's see how we can hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. Because if we have these in mind, we can listen all the more attentively and hear him the more for our greater life in Christ, encouraged in him. So, how does God speak to us? The Holy Spirit, the first way is by, can you read that far? The Bible. Obviously, it's the written word. This is what God speaks through, the Holy Spirit, through this book to bless you. Let's take a look and see what it says there. You guys can, I'm sure, quote this verse, but 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is inspired by God. That means breathed out by God. The Holy Spirit spoke it, in other words, all scripture, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So how does God, if you want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, how does he speak to you? First and foremost, through the written word. So we want to be in this word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, living and active, says the scriptures. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him, Proverbs 30. So if you want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you personally in your lives, your encouragement, his encouragements, corrections, guidance, and all these things, open the book. You got to be in the scriptures and reading it. Here he tells us about God's existence, what he's like, what are the ways of sin, where did death come from, what's hell about, how to get saved, to come to Jesus, about angels and demons and what has been and what is happening and what's going to happen in the world. The understanding of all the truth, the Holy Spirit wants to form in your mind the truth so that you live in the truth and not in all these crazy fantasies and evil imaginations that the world concocts for you. He wants you in the truth. So hear his words, his counsels in the written words of the scriptures, and for that, frankly, you got to read. You got to open up the book, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you by it. Amen? So that's number one. You'll know when the sermon's over when we get to the bottom of the page. Some people, though, and some Christians say, that's the only place God will ever speak to us, in the Bible, by reading the Word. Is that true? Well, if you go by the Bible and get your doctrines from the scriptures, the Bible tells us God speaks to us, the Holy Spirit, in another way as well. Apart from the Bible, but not totally apart from the Bible. Second is by the preachers. If you want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, then you got to come to church and hear the word preached from the pulpit or in the other places you can find it. Because we read here in Romans chapter 10. Let's open it up and read this one. Paul says, "But how are men to call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher?" So faith comes from what is heard, says Paul, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. So think about this. Most people, I'd say almost everybody in the world that gets saved, does not get saved usually by reading the Bible. Think about that. It's by Christian men faithfully expounding the scriptures and preaching it into their ears by the word and the voice of a man. And that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to people to create faith in their hearts that they might believe, escape death, and be saved. So, if you think about 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." So do you want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you? The written word is number one. Secondly, it's by the preacher. When you hear even me speaking, you're hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you. That doesn't mean that every time you hear a preacher, you're going to hear the word of God. Because there are a lot of false prophets out there that have gone into the world, it says 1 John chapter 4. And so what do we got to do to make sure that the person preaching is actually bringing to us the Holy Spirit speaking to us through that person? Well, take my words, go back and check them in the scriptures and see if it's in accord with this book. The Berean Christians were considered more noble than the Jews in Thessalonica, for they searched the scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul was preaching to them were true. And so, check out my words, check out every preacher. If the preacher is speaking in accordance with the words of this book and the doctrines and truths here, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Jesus told the apostles that we're going to go out and preach. He says, "He who hears you is really hearing me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." So if you hear me preaching and it's the truth of this book, you're actually hearing something supernatural today. It's the Holy Spirit who's actually really speaking to you to encourage you in your ways in Christ. So the Bible, preachers number two. Is that it, though? Some Christians are going to say, don't go any further afield than that. You've stuck with the scriptures. Don't go any further than there. But is that what the Bible says? The Bible actually teaches that there's a third way that the Holy Spirit speaks to man. What's the third way he speaks to even all people, not just believers? By the creation, the created order, the things that God has made. Is that true? Well, open up the Bible. Check it out again. Here we read in Psalm 19, Psalm of David says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork." Listen to this. "Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." Do you hear God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to you through the creation? You look up at the stars at night, twinkling in that cold night sky, at least in northern places. And they're preaching to you. They are other preachers saying, look, there's a God who created us. We are no accident. There is a real God of power and majesty and might who made all these things. That's the Holy Spirit preaching, not even to just Christians, but to all the world, to believe in God and to worship him by what is seen in creation. Do you know it's actually, he speaks so loudly and clearly in his creation. Paul says, you've got to be absolutely insane and work really, really hard in wickedness to suppress this truth and to stifle that word so you don't hear it. He says in Romans chapter 1, men by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made, so they're without excuse. I mean, think about this. If you went out into the parking lot today and saw a Lamborghini sports car, wouldn't that be cool? Would you think that that just happened by accident, that nature, through a random chance set of events, just sort of created this by a big slot machine and it just appeared one day by nature? Or would you say a man had to have created that, an intelligent designer? Well, you have to be completely wicked, devastatingly corrupt, completely evil, to not hear God speak to you, the Holy Spirit, through the creation. To look at everything that has been made and to say, ah, that was all just an accident. by random chance, nothing existed in the beginning, and then nothing existed by a power that did not exist. Nothing was created, that is, by a power that did not exist, and it created a beautiful everything by an explosion full of order. You've got to be absolutely nuts. Actually, mad and wicked, says Paul, to suppress and muzzle the Holy Spirit's voice speaking loud and clear like a trumpet in creation. Look, there's a God. He's created the world. If you think of it, the stars at night proclaim his might. The thunder and the lightning, his wrath, his justice and his power. The intricacies of the micro nature, our DNA, proclaim his intelligence. You can clearly see it in the things that have been made. So for us Christians, can you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you daily, even personally today? If you go out into nature and let him speak to you about the creation? Jesus says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson about my coming, how quickly, and the fruits that will attend it. From the birds, learn their lesson, says Jesus. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Isn't he going to have much more feed you, O men of little faith? Trust God is the lesson of the birds. And the lilies of the field have their lesson too. So, if you go out and see a crimson sunset tonight, or twinkling stars on a cold night, or hear the roar of the sea, you might want to ask, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me in these words about God, for my faith in him? He speaks by his creation. Is that it? Are we done? Well, there's another one. God also, the Bible says, speaks to us by our conscience. Does God speak to you by your conscience? Where are we going to find that in the Bible? Well, let's turn over here to Romans chapter 2, beginning of verse 14. 2:14 says, when Gentiles who don't have the law do by nature what the law requires, in other words, they don't even have a Bible, but they're doing what the Bible tells them to do, they are a law to themselves, even though they don't have the law. They show that what the law requires is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness to them. So, does God speak to us by our conscience? Do you have a conscience? I hope you do. The conscience is written into everybody's heart. The truths of God, right and wrong. Everybody knows right and wrong. If you go to wicked unbelievers, they still know it's wrong to murder, it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to lie, it's wrong to commit adultery, and their conscience speaks to them loud and clear. Now, does everybody hear their conscience? No, you can stifle that conscience. Just like you can stifle creation, the Holy Spirit's voice there, you can stifle the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the law written in your heart and your conscience. If you sin and sin long enough, it gets very hard to hear, or you can make silent or try to put a muzzle on the Holy Spirit. A lot of people will succeed at this to some degree. They'll sleep around once, then two or three times. Pretty soon they're having one-night stands all the time, and they don't even feel any wrong about it anymore because they've seared the conscience as with a hot iron. You can even commit murder or abortion and not bat an eyelash. So they're without excuse, though, says God, on the day of judgment, because while they sought to stifle their conscience, it still preached to them loud and clear, so they'll have no excuse and say, I didn't know. You knew, will say the judge, I wrote it on your heart. How about for us Christians, though? Does the Holy Spirit, does he speak to you with your conscience daily? Well, yeah, and it's really cool because our conscience has now been recalibrated and healed by the Word of God. And it tells us the right way to go. We feel guilt when we sin so that we repent and run to Christ daily. And then we hear there the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus. And guess what? Your conscience is clear. You can have a free and clear joyful conscience through the Savior. So, conscience. Is that it? Well, there's another one here. Let's take a look. God also speaks to us, the Holy Spirit, by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, by our circumstances in life. You know, when you do good, a lot of times good things happen to you. And when you do evil, a lot of times evil things happen to you. So sometimes you can look at the circumstances of your life and the Holy Spirit speaking to you by them. God's word to you. Now, you got to be very careful with that one. Why? Because sometimes bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. Think about Job. In his life, His friends told him, by these circumstances, Job, by these disasters, we know that God is saying to you he's angry, that you've sinned against him. Look at your calamity. God is angry with you and judging you. But they were wrong, and we found out by the end of that book that God was very angry with Job's friends for giving this evil counsel. So we've got to be careful. God does speak by our circumstances in life, but sometimes trouble is actually just a test leading to a blessing in the end. Sometimes prosperity can be actually a curse or the opposite. So we have to judge those things very carefully. But I'm so thankful for the prodigal son who was able to look at his circumstances and say, eating the pods that fall from these pigs, that's the result of my evil ways. He interpreted God's word to him rightly and said, I'm going to return to my father. And when he went back, he found a welcoming, accepting, loving dad and new life. And so we can somewhat read our circumstances in life. Sixthly, we can also hear the Holy Spirit speak to us by Christian friends. We read this in the scriptures. Proverbs 11 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Do you wonder sometimes, which way should I go? What's God saying to me? What would his word be to me today? I really don't know, I'm lost. Well, go to a Christian brother or a Christian sister who's mature in the faith and ask them, what is God saying to me? And seek their advice, a number of people, their advice. Look, the church in Acts did not know the right way to go about circumcision. So they all got together in a big group in Acts 15. And we read that Peter, James, and Paul all stood up and concluded that circumcision was not necessary. But as Peter said, we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as the Gentiles will, apart from circumcision. Guess what, guys? The Holy Spirit was speaking through the group of Christians together. In the abundance of counselors, there is safety. It was his word that came through the group, through the Christian friends gathered. And so, seek some advice from Christian friends, for by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. Here's one more for today that the Holy Spirit speaks to us by. He also speaks to us, direct to your heart. Really? Well, by an inner voice. Does he speak so? An impulse, a flash of insight, maybe a dream or a vision, a feeling or a word. You know, a lot of Christians get very nervous with this one. They say, no, stick with only the Bible. Don't ever trust anything spoken to your heart. Now, it's true that our hearts are desperately wicked and corrupt and are very deceptive and tricky. So we don't want to believe everything we hear in our hearts. They're very dangerous, unreliable, and unsafe. But does that mean that God, the Holy Spirit, never speaks a word to our hearts? No, it doesn't. Because the Bible, once again, we're going by this book, tells us that the Holy Spirit at times does speak to our hearts. Acts chapter 8, we read that verse, starting in verse 26. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go down toward the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And he rose and went, and behold, an Ethiopian eunuch, a minister of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, etc., was seated on his chariot. He was reading Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Let me ask you a question. Why did the Holy Spirit not say, Philip, read your Bible? Because there's no verse in the Bible that says, get down to a desert road, going down to Gaza, and join a chariot. He had to give him a time-specific personal instruction so that he could go and save this man who is seated on the chariot. Sometimes the Spirit does speak to our hearts. Got to be careful there and test it according to the written word, the scriptures. Make sure you're with Jesus Christ and his truth. But he does speak to us. Take Peter, for example. Peter had a vision of a curtain, a sheet with all these different animals on it. And when he was pondering the vision, we read the Spirit said to him, behold, there are three men looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And he went and saved Cornelius. Ananias got a direct word. In Acts chapter 9, rise and go to the street called Straight and inquire for a man in the house named Saul and open his eyes and save him. Paul got direct communications, Acts 18, don't be afraid, Paul, but speak and don't be silent, for I'm with you, and no man shall attack you to harm you, for I have many people in this city. Does the Holy Spirit speak to you personally also at times for your comfort and your help? You know, I get comforted and helped a lot of times if I remember to ask and then wait and see what the Lord might say. For example, every week I'm like, I have no idea what to preach. What am I going to say this week, Lord? I'll walk around in the parking lot with my stick, my staff, after maybe an hour or two or three, or maybe even right away, I'll get a flash of insight. Go this direction. Is that not the Holy Spirit speaking to me? I'm troubled, God. I'm overwhelmed. Which way should I go? Or I'm lonely and afflicted. What do you have to say to that, Lord God? And shortly after this, at a time of his choosing, he gives me a word. Usually a scripture comes to mind, but sometimes just another word. Like this week, I was having a lot of things on my mind with church and my engine at the boat and a lot of things I was handling. And I just felt like I heard God. When I asked him, he said, don't worry, Greg. I'll take care of the whole thing. Just trust me. You know, that was a word that propelled me forward in Christ to say, okay, God, I'll just trust you. And he made my heart sing. But we've got to test everything and bring it back to the scriptures. The devil speaks to our minds and hearts too, words of discouragement, evil and lies. But should we say then that the Holy Spirit has nothing to say in opposition? Great to see the Dudas in church today. Thanks for visiting. I remember your grandmom and your mom, Betty, she told me once that, you know, her four-year-old daughter was unwell, and they went to the doctors, and they could not figure what was wrong with her. And in her midnight prayers, she asked, Lord, what's wrong with my daughter? And she heard one word, leukemia. And she was terrified by that. She went to the doctor and said, I think my daughter has leukemia. The doctor said, you are crazy. There's no way she has leukemia. Betty said, test for it. They tested, they checked it out, it was. And she'd asked God, will my daughter live? And heard another terrifying word, no, but that she will be with me in heaven and she'll be well, so don't worry. And she had great comfort from that, and all those words came to pass, a word directly from the Holy Spirit to her to help her, to comfort her. Does the Holy Spirit speak in these kinds of ways to us? Beth, my wife, in the years before I married her, went to the altar rail in a church in Maine to give up something for Lent. And she thought, I'm going to give up, Lord, swearing and saying bad words. And when she got to the altar rail, she heard a word very clearly, alcohol. Give up the alcohol. Took her by complete surprise. But she obeyed it because alcohol was starting to get a hold of her life and lead her down a dangerous path in those days. And it saved her. Was that the devil telling her to get away from alcohol? Was that her own mind? Maybe, but it came as a surprise. Was that the Holy Spirit propelling her in her life in Christ for freedom? I believe it was. Now, we got to check all this out every time. But my point here with you, friends, in this one, a direct word to your heart is, you know, there are times when the Holy Spirit wants to comfort you, give a direction and a guidance and help that we have help in our daily living, a help that we may be missing that God wants you to have. So ask him in prayer, pour out your complaint, and then wait and see if he might tell you something, lay a word on your heart, usually scripture, maybe something else, and if it's propelling you forward in Jesus Christ, according to the words of this book, well, then you can run forward with it. It's past the test. It's either you or it's the Holy Spirit. Either way, you're going forward in Christ. Because guess what? Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Paraclete in the Greek. He calls the Holy Spirit a comforter, a helper, a defender, and a friend. I believe if he's all those things to us, he also wants to speak to you by all of these means and to comfort and encourage you in Christ. And where does he always point us in all of these things? Answer, friends, he's always going to point you to Jesus Christ, the truth of his book, and to God your Father, who has reconciled you to himself through the blood of Jesus Christ in love, that he might open your ears and you might walk in his ways, hearing his voice and delighting in his voice to you every day. Therefore, may the Holy Spirit keep you and me encouraged and helped in Christ all the way into God's loving arms above and into the world to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.